gentlemen. Welcome to the Cofinimmo 2017 half-year results conference call. For the first part of this call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question-and-answer session. I would now like to give the floor to Mr. Jean-Edouard Carbonnel, CEO, and Mr. Jérôme Decomp, CFO. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Well, good morning to all the analysts who take the time to attend by phone this presentation of our half-year results, which were published yesterday evening. The presentation will be shared between Jérôme for the financial results, Hélène Growes, who will present the changes in the portfolio and the review of our acquisition and evolution of the portfolio. Xavier Denis, our Chief Operating Officer, is not present. He's on holiday for the moment, so that's the reason why Hélène is taking over from him on this part, and I will do myself the introduction and also the conclusion. So if we turn to the page two of the webcast presentation, there is the highlights of this first semester of 2017. We've seen a nice evolution of our results on most parameters, starting from the net result from core activities. Our current result is now for the first half, 3.25 euro per share, compares with 2.86 euro for the first half of 2016. The net result is substantially higher at 3.06 euro per share, as against 1.65 a year ago. We can confirm the forecast for the net result from core activities at 6.49 euro per share for the full year, and we have maintained our forecast for the gross dividend for this year, payable next year at 5.50 euro per share. Regarding the operational performance, we had a strong activity in letting in the office segment, with renegotiations and new lettings accounting for 22,000 square meters, and gross rental revenues are up 4.2% over the last 12 months. They are flattish on a like-for-like basis, but thanks to the investments that we did over the last months, we see this increase in the top line by 4.2%. Regarding the valuation of the portfolio, 1.7% up, slightly negative, -0.2% on a like-for-like basis, and this is due essentially to the office sector in some regions of Brussels, decentralized as well as the periphery, while the city center is performing well on evaluation basis. Occupancy is stable at 94.4%, with some erosion in offices, but outside of the city center. We will go into the details of the operational performance in a minute, but I would like to stress the reason of our investment. We have, during this semester, invested 58 million in healthcare, and taken some commitments also to acquire new assets. In total, if we recap, from the time we made the capital increase in 2015, we've invested 381 million, of which 237 in healthcare and 135 in offices. Regarding the committed investment pipeline for the period from today to end 2019, it totals 228 million, of which 100 million is for healthcare, 118 million is for offices, but we expect that within these 118 million, we will be able to obtain around 100 million from the proceeds of sales of apartments. You remember that in office refurbishment, we conduct refurbishment into offices like the Belliard 40 or the R19H buildings, but we also run a program of conversion into apartments which are then for sale. So out of the 228 million in the committed pipeline, you can see that on a net basis, healthcare takes the lion's share at 100 million, and offices should be a net 18 million, 1-8. Regarding debt management and the balance sheet structure, we were able to renew credit lines during the first half of the year for an amount of 233 million. The cost of debt has come down, and as we had announced, is now at 2% versus 2.4% for the whole of 2016. Average maturity of the debt has been slightly increased, and finally, we remind you that 41% of the dividends that were offered in 2017 based on the profit of 2016 were reinvested in new shares, which provides us with a capital increase of 33 million. So I will now hand over to Alan to present the evolution of the portfolio.
Thank you, Jean. Looking at the property portfolio, on slide 4 we have a breakdown of the portfolio per activity segment. 45% of our assets are healthcare real estate assets, 38% are offices, the rest being mainly property of distribution networks. Looking at the breakdown by country, we're still very much invested in Belgium, with 71% of our assets located in Belgium. But the share which is located in Netherlands and Germany is growing slowly but surely, with 9% located today in the Netherlands and 4% of the global portfolio located in Germany. Looking at slide 5, we see that the occupancy rate has remained quite stable when compared to the end of last year. It stands at 94.4% at the end of June this year for the overall portfolio, compared to 94.5% at the end of 2016. Basically, there's been an increase, a small increase in the vacancy in our office portfolio, coming from mainly the decentralized area of Brussels, but there's also been a slight increase in a vacancy in the Leopold district. And just to shed some light on this figure, in the Leopold district, you remember that we bought 4 buildings last year. One of these buildings, the Loi 34, has some vacancy, which was covered by a rental guarantee. This rental guarantee expired at the end of March this year. Fortunately, we've managed to relet the vacant spaces, but the new leases have been signed but are not yet effective. So in the meantime, we have a small drop in the occupancy rate in the Leopold district. But this is temporary. Looking at the graph at the bottom of the page, we have our top 10 tenants. No major news here. Korian still our biggest tenant, representing 15.5% of rental income, with a presence in our portfolio in France, Belgium, and recently also in Germany. AB InBev is the second largest tenant, representing 13% of rental income as a tenant of our pubs portfolio in Belgium and in the Netherlands. On slide 6, we focus on the granularity of the portfolio, which is something that we actively strive for. You may remember that we have disposed already of some big office buildings in our portfolio, namely the North Galaxy building in 2014. We're going to progressively also dispose of the Access site, which is quite a big site in our portfolio. The average size of our office offices is 7,800 square meters. The average size of our healthcare assets is 5,200 square meters. So we like to invest in small to medium-sized assets which don't present a too high concentration of risk. The 10 largest assets of our portfolio represent only 14% of the global portfolio. On slide 7, we have a look at the lease maturities. Almost 50% of our rental income comes from leases which have a maturity of over 9 years. The average residual lease maturity stands at 10 years for the global portfolio. It's very high for our healthcare assets located in Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, and also for our pubs portfolio. It is shorter for our office portfolio, where we classically sign 3-6-9 leases. And also for our healthcare portfolio located in France, where we have an average lease maturity of 4.2 years. Now, to give some color to that figure, on a portfolio of just over 50 assets located in France, healthcare assets, we have 11 assets with a lease expiry before the end of 2019, and we're starting to get a clear view of the future of these assets. Probably 4 of them will have a lease renewal with the current operator. 3 of them will probably be transferred to a new operator. The future of one of these assets is still uncertain, and there will probably be 3 departures. So the 3 sites which will be vacated probably represent only 6% of the total French healthcare portfolio. So as you see, it's a very limited risk. Looking at slide 8, at the valuation of the portfolio, we have opposite tendencies in our various segments, which balance each other out. Our healthcare portfolio has seen a growth of its value of 0.7%. The offices have been devalued by 1.5% due to renovations which are upcoming. Basically, the effect of departures and renegotiations, which was on a like-for-like basis of respectively -2.8% and -0.2%, was partially compensated by the positive effect of indexation for 1.4% and new lettings for 1.6%. Looking at the yields, we have an average net yield of 6.4% for the global portfolio. No major changes here. Maybe somewhat a yield compression, although small, in the healthcare segment and in the distribution network segment. Net yields stand at 6.9% for the offices, 6.2% for the distribution networks, and 6.0% for healthcare real estate. And here we even have yields, average yields of around 5.9% for the healthcare real estate in Belgium and in France. Now, if I have a closer look at the healthcare segment, on slide 10, we have a breakdown of our healthcare portfolio by country. Belgium still represents the lion's share of the portfolio, with 54% of the healthcare assets located in Belgium. But again, the share of assets located in Germany and the Netherlands is growing. Today, they represent approximately 20% of the healthcare portfolio. On the right-hand side, we see that we're still very much invested in skilled nursing facilities, but we're actively diversifying our portfolio in terms of medical specialties. On slide 11 and the following, we give an overview of our recent acquisitions, and it shows the diversity of investments that we do in healthcare real estate. We have acquired in the first half of this year a skilled nursing facility in Germany for 13 million euros. We've also acquired a newly built care center for people with mental disorders in the Netherlands for 9 million euro. And we finished the construction works of a care center for people suffering from dementia That was an investment of 4 million euro. All of these assets are let on a long-term basis to the operators of the facilities through double net leases. On the next slide, slide 12, you have an overview of a couple of the medical office buildings that we've acquired recently. In total, we acquired five of them since the beginning of the year. We now have nine medical office buildings in our global portfolio for an investment value of approximately 45 million euro. We see a lot of potential in these types of assets. We like their granularity. These are small to middle-sized assets, which are multi-tenant. On slide 13, a focus on the type of partnerships that we undergo in Belgium. We've signed in the first half of this year a third agreement with Senior Living Group, which is a healthcare operator, which is part of the Group Corian. We signed a third agreement for the extension and a renovation of a third site. In total, with the two other sites for which we had signed agreements, we'll have a total investment on of 25 million euro on the three sites between 2017 and 2020. Now, going to the office segment, on slide 15, we have a breakdown of the office portfolio per geographical district. The biggest chunk of the office portfolio is located in the CBD area of Brussels, following the acquisition of several buildings in that area last year. The buildings located in the decentralized area of Brussels now represent 46% of the portfolio, and that share will probably shrink in the coming quarters with the progressive disposal of the excess sites. On slide 16, an overview of the two main redevelopment projects that we're working on in our office segment currently, the Béliard 40. Some of you have visited the construction site during our investor day in June. The works should be finished by the first quarter of next year. We expect to have let 75% of the office space within the 18 months after the delivery of the works. Total budget of 44 million euros. We also started works on the Arts 19H building. This building was vacated at the end of January 2017. We're currently removing the asbestos in the building. It will then be torn down, and we will build a new state-of-the-art building in replacement of the existing building. Total budget here of 24 million euros, and the works should be finished by the end of 2019. On slide 17, a reminder of another construction site that we're working on. It's actually a reconversion of a former office building, the Woluwe 100 and 608, into a nursing home. We've already signed a partnership with a healthcare operator who will let and operate this facility for 27 years as from the delivery of the works, which will take place before the end of the year. Here we expect a yield on cost of 5.9%. On slide 18, a word on the redevelopment of the access site. As you know, two parts of this site will be redeveloped into apartments, the Ten Rücken plot of land and the Souverain 23 building. For the Ten Rücken plot of land, we're quite confident that the permit procedure will be finished by the third quarter of this year, and we'll be then able to start the building of the apartments. We're talking about 60 units here, total investment of 21 million euro. The works should take 2 years, and the apartments will be put up for sale. Concerning the Souverain 23, this building was just vacated. As you know, AXA is actually currently leaving the site. Officially, their lease ends next Tuesday. For the Souverain 23, the permit procedure will be initiated before the end of the year. And here also we are going to develop apartments which we shall put up for sale. Concerning the main part of the site, the Souverain 25, as you know, we signed an agreement with the U.S. government to sell them this property. It's an agreement which is conditional to the U.S. government obtaining the necessary permits to develop their new embassy compound there. They're currently presenting their project for the site to the various public authorities in Brussels, both regional and communal. They also organized a visit of their new embassy compound in The Hague, a visit to which they invited several Belgian journalists. The new embassy compound in The Hague is very modern, energy efficient, and above all, it's a building which blends in really seamlessly with its environment and the site it's built on. In the meantime, the government of the Brussels Capital Region has initiated a procedure to put both the existing building and the site on a conservation list. We've been officially notified of this procedure at the beginning of this week. This initiative does not coincide with the plans that the U.S. authorities have for the site. We now have 45 days to advocate our own arguments against this listing. So, to be continued. On slide 19, an overview of the kind of innovative solutions that we put in place to attract new types of tenants and to reduce vacancy in our office portfolio. One of these solutions is a flex corner. Flex corner is a flexible rental solution we offer small companies and startups. We offer them flexibility in terms of rental space, because the minimum space that can be rented is 100 square meters. We offer them flexibility also in terms of lease maturity, because the minimum lease length that they can sign for is 1 year. They share common infrastructures with other tenants, kitchen, lounges, meeting rooms, and it has proved to be a very efficient manner to fill in the void of some of our office buildings in the more decentralized and peripheral areas of Brussels. We have opened 7 locations so far. Other solutions that we've put in place is the lounge by Cofinimo. We've opened our 2nd location this year. These are spaces with shared infrastructures, kitchens, lounges, meeting rooms, brainstorming rooms, which have also proven to be attractive to attract new tenants. Jérôme is now going to comment on the results.
Thank you, Hélène. I will now comment on pretty good set of KPIs for the 2017 half year result. On slide 21, the rental growth. The gross rental revenues was up by 4.2% over the last 12 months, which reflects the investment recently realized in healthcare assets in Germany and the Netherlands, as well as the acquisition of 5 office buildings in 2016. As Hélène said, on a like-for-like basis, these rental revenues are stable between the first semester 2016 and 17. Indeed, the positive effect of the lease indexation and new leases slightly exceeded the negative impact of departures and renegotiations. On slide 22, the result, the net result from core activities, which represent the EPRA earnings, was 69.3 million euros at 30 June of 17, compared to 60 million for the first semester of 2016. It means a 15% of increase. Per share, these figures amount to 25 euro and 2.86 euro respectively. As for the result on financial instrument, the change in fair value of financial instruments item amounts to 13 million at 30 June 17 compared to minus 34 million at one year before. This positive evolution is the result of the increase in interest rates. Within the result of the portfolio, the changes in the fair value of investment properties amounted to minus 8 million on the first semester this year, compared to plus 12 million euro last year. The appreciation in the value of healthcare asset did not compensate the value depreciation of certain office buildings. On a like-for-like basis, the fair value of investment properties is overall stable compared to last year. Cofinimmo registered a net result group share of 65.2 million euro at this first semester compared to 34.6 million euro last year. Now, concerning the EPRA KPI, I already described the EPRA earnings evolution, and the other KPIs are quite steady. Now, concerning the financial resources, about equity, this first semester, concerning the result of the stock dividend proposed to the shareholders, as Jean said, 41% of the 2016 dividends was paid in new shares in last June, thus reinforcing the equity by 33 million euro. Since the last rights issue occurred in May 2015, Cofinimmo invested 381 million euro. Concerning the DCM and the bonds, no news this semester, but the Standard & Poor's rating agency confirmed Cofinimmo's rating during the first semester, BBB for the long term with stable outlook, A2 for the short term, and the group's liquidity has been rated strong based on high liquidity available on credit lines. Some figures about the debt metrics. A debt ratio of 45% due to the dividend payment in last June and the investment program financed by available bank facilities. An average cost of debt reduction from 2.4% in 2016 to 2% over the first half of 2017. The average global debt maturity was increased to 5 years thanks to the renewals of multiple credit lines for a global amount of 233 million euro. Now on slide 28, the schedule of long-term financial commitments are well spread over the period ending 2026. Debt maturing in 2017-18 are already refinanced, as well as 74% of those maturing in 2019. Now, concerning the interest rate aging, during this first semester, Cofinimmo reinforced the interest rate aging by contracting new IRS for 100 million euro for the years 23 to 26. At a constant debt structure, the interest rate risk is covered at over 70% until the end of 2021. I now let Jean comment on the investment pipeline and conclude on this presentation.
Thank you, Jérôme. It was already mentioned that the committed investment amount to 228 million, of which 100 million concerns healthcare, 128 million concerns the office, 118 million, sorry, concerned the office, out of the offices, a number of reconversion, which will normally lead to disposals of apartments for 100 million. and there is 10 million which is in property distribution networks to be invested between now and 2019. You see the spread over the different quarters and years on page 31, and on page 32 you can see what we have now as investment target globally, and the target for potential uncommitted yet acquisition for this period is now 320 million. When we presented the 2016 annual result, this figure was 400 million, but since then a number of acquisitions were made that either went into the portfolio right away if they are up and running, or went into the committed pipeline. That is the reason why the 400 million have now become 320 million. But the target of the breakdown of the portfolio and 2019 remains unchanged. That is that we would reach 45%, 50%, sorry, in healthcare and 34% in offices, from respectively 45 and 38%. So not much change on this page, except the fact that the program is progressing, and that as we go on, we will see obviously the column with uncommitted acquisition become smaller, with investment flowing into the portfolio or flowing into committed pipeline if it goes about acquisitions to be made after signature of certain deals. Regarding the forecast, we maintain our forecast for the year with a target of net result from core activities at 6.49 euro per share. Dividend of 5.50, our board has confirmed this forecast for the dividend of this year payable next year. And you see that the debt ratio, which is 43.7% at the end of 2016, now is obviously somewhat up after the payment of the 2016 dividends, but towards the end of the year it should for sure be substantially under 50%. I think that's the end of the presentation. Thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Jerome. Operator, we will now hand over to you for the attendants to ask their questions. If you could go to the second phase of this conference presentation.
Thank you. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are now ready to take your questions. If you wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad. So that is 01 to register for a question. There will be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question comes from the line of Herman Wanderloos from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello. Thank you very much for the presentation. I've got at this stage three questions. The first is on taxes. You mentioned that there are positive one-offs. Could you just tell us, are we speaking about 1 million, 2 million? My second question is on Béliard 40. Ellen mentioned that you expect to be 75% pre-let, let within 18 months of completion. That sounds to me quite long. My question was, is it because you are more choosy on rents, or is it just because demand is subdued? And what kind of rents are we talking about, 200, 250, 300? And my third question is on the small disposal in Oosterhout in Holland. What kind of yearly rent are you losing on that? And can we expect other such disposal because the operator is leaving? Voilà. Thank you very much.
Perhaps on taxes,
concerning the tax, it was just a tax which which was repaid from the administration to Cofinimmo on 1.4 billion from the beginning of 2016 to now. So it was 1 million euro of non-recurrent item. The good news for Cofinimmo, because we tried to ask for the repayment of this real estate tax for this building under construction.
Yes, for the foreign analyst, the situation in Brussels is that when a building is facing full renovation, the taxes are still due, except in the case that it's fully demolished. And there was some uncertainty as to what I just stated, but now it has been confirmed that as the Béliard 40 former building has been fully demolished, we can avoid paying taxes during the period of reconstruction. Regarding the Béliard 40, Herman, 85% let within 18 months of delivery is a prudent assumption. We hope that it will go faster, obviously, but knowing the sort of turnover in the Brussels city center between tenants, I think this is the thing that we can announce now. That's our forecast. It was already mentioned during the investor day that this was our guidance on the letting of this building. Regarding the income per square meter, well, we think that probably 250 euro per square meter per year would be a good level. We are going to try for more. Now, there is always the question of how much incentive has to be given, and obviously the level of rent goes also with the length of the lease. The longer the lease, the lower the rent we can accept. Shorter the lease, we will ask for a higher rent for the square meter there. And finally, regarding Osterhout, the situation is the following. The operator of that building is a stichting, so a foundation in Breda, region Breda. They have a number of activities. They've decided to focus on more care-intensive activities. Osterhout is a building with some apartments, but not so much intensive care. So they wanted to get out of the situation whereby they were obliged to lease from us this facility for the long term. They went to a third party who was interested in buying the building, and they've asked us to sell the building to that third party, which we did. We have actually a small profit versus the acquisition price of the building dating from the green deal, the deal that we did with Green Real Estate to buy a number of buildings in the Netherlands. So rather than block the situation and stay put vis-a-vis a foundation, which is a non-profit organization, we thought it was best to get out of the situation, sell without a loss, and carry on to other investments.
And to finalize the answer, we don't have any other facility in this case in our healthcare portfolio.
Okay. What kind of rent are we talking about? Yearly rent on that facility that was sold?
What was rent?
In 2016, we had a rental income of around 700,000 euros.
Okay. Thank you very much.
735,000.
Gross.
Thank you. Crystal clear.
Our next question comes from the line of Jaap Kuin from ING. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for your presentation. A couple of questions. So looking at your slide on page 32, it's the office disposal scenario is 100 million. And I was just wondering, given the current environment of very low yields and strong appetite for investment, why are you not planning to sell more, and especially of the more mature assets and probably some of the more, let's call them hopeless assets in the office segment where you don't see, for both of which you might fail to see sufficient future upside? What's keeping you from increasing that volume? Then my second question will be on the reconversion. I deduct from this table that there's a 100 million gain to be expected on 58 million of capex. Could you put on top of that a number which is the current land value of the reconversion, so that we can get an idea about the total return trajectory of these reconversions? And then my final question is on the following on the previous question on the Dutch operator, does it make you more careful in terms of operator selection in the Netherlands, which is a more tricky market than the Dutch one? Do you feel confident you have selected the right operators, and or do you think this is a normal course of business? Thank you.
Perhaps your last question is about the Dutch operators, or
yeah,
okay. I don't think we did pick the wrong operator. Stichting Elisabeth is a very good operator, and they're quite strong. However, we had to face a situation where a tenant says, I don't want to operate that anymore. I have an opportunity to get out of that. Can you accompany me in this opportunity? Regarding more generally the Dutch operators, yes, we have to be careful. That's quite clear. The Dutch market is undergoing structural changes, pretty important changes also in public healthcare policies. So far, we haven't had any problem of creditworthiness. But we are very selective. We have reinforced the team to do better analysis of the financial solidity of our current tenants and prospective tenants. We have developed a benchmarking methodology here over the years, not only for the facilities one by one, but also for the groups, or in other words, the balance sheet, P&L, of the operating groups. We've also reinforced the team with a senior person who was the financial director of the major Dutch Stichting Foundation in the Netherlands until a year ago. Very senior person. So we're doing our best. This is not to say that there's no risk, but we're doing our best on that front. Regarding the disposal in offices, for the moment what we're talking about is disposals of apartments resulting from the reconversion of certain obsolete office buildings which have been in our portfolio for a long time. You know that when a building is obsolete, we make a choice between refurbishing it as an office facility if the demand for offices looks good in the area, or converting into some other use like apartments then for sale, or like nursing home in the case of Woluwe 106. The idea that we would sell more up and running offices in the current market is certainly something we're considering. But at this time, we cannot make any announcement. It's not excluded that
in the future months, there will be some disposal of up and running office facilities, but there is nothing specific that we can really put into an investment target plan. Regarding your question about the land value of certain office properties that have become obsolete, I would say that in good areas, like the decentralized, where there is a future clearly for residential space, we think the level of land value per square meter to be rebuilt is somewhere between 1,300 and 2,000 euro, depending on the specific location. So it's a very satisfactory level for the Brussels market, certainly much lower than in many European cities. But this is the situation. If you want to make a valuation of the existing sites to be converted in residential, you can take the volume of existing construction, which will be replaced by apartments, and multiply by a figure per square meter of that range.
Okay, great. That's all very helpful. Maybe one small follow-on question on the sizes of the assets you're acquiring, especially in the healthcare segment. I look at some of these deals, for example, the one, I struggle to find the name now, but the one, I think it has 22 beds, the one in Bavel. So how is that efficient for an operator? Because I previously understood that we need kind of maybe up to 100 beds for these facilities to be operated efficiently. So can you maybe describe for these smaller assets and maybe also for the smaller office assets, how is the long-term outlook for these assets? Are they efficient enough, and how do you view that within your wider portfolio?
Well, indeed, the size of the assets in terms of beds and residents has an impact on the efficiency of the operation, but it depends very much on the type of operation. If you have, for instance, an operation which consists in having people with mental disability of all ages, you cannot think of a very large facility today. It has to be like between 15 and 30 beds or residents. In the old days, yes, you would have these disabled people perhaps out of town in very large sites. But today the trend, if you look, for instance, at Philadelphia, which is a very big operator in that field in the Netherlands, is to bring people rather to the suburbs or the center of the cities and have facilities between 15 and 30 beds. So what we see in the market is for elderly people, I would say the good minimum level is 80 beds. It can go up to 150 beds. Above that, it becomes, in terms of atmosphere, not so attractive. You can then operate efficiently because of the number of nurses that you have there, the head nurse. You have to deliver continued service 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But in certain other operations with, for instance, severely confused people, you might think of a smaller facility. So it is very dependent on the type of operations and to whom they serve, which population they serve.
Yeah, thanks. And then maybe finally, this is really my last question on the AXA side. Is there a plan B?
There is obviously a plan B if the demolition of the building is not in the end allowed with recovery of certain elements of the building in the new project. I would like to insist that the current project of the U.S. government is fully compatible with the preservation of the site. You know, it's a landscape site with ponds, with a nice number of features, including trees, the fact that the building that stands today is really very integrated into the landscape, but the new building could be equally integrated into the landscape. So the site, which the government certainly wants to see fully protected, would be protected under the project prepared by the U.S. government. However, the existing building and its structure cannot be maintained, but perhaps certain elements can be recovered in the new facility, which will be substantially smaller, will have a carbon footprint far below the existing one. Plan B, we have, of course, elaborated a plan B should the U.S. government in the end not transfer its embassies there. We are not actively communicating on this plan B because we want to give every chance to plan A, and we really think for not only Cofinimmo but also for the city, plan A is by far the best solution for this site, which I mind you is more than 40 years old, so needs obviously a full repositioning, and we're pursuing plan A. We will be actively talking to all public authorities at the regional level as well as the level of the municipality in the coming weeks, in parallel with obviously the official answer that we have to give to the notification of the Brussels government that was sent to us this Monday. We now have in this notification all the points, all the arguments of the Commission Royale des Monuments et des Sites, so the Royal Commission of Monuments and Sites, which, as you can expect, is a commission meant to protect the historical architecture in Brussels. But the debate here is not only about historical architecture, it is about many other issues, including obviously security of a major embassy in a major diplomatic city. So the debate is far broader than architecture of the past.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Our next question is a follow-up question from Herman van der Loos from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead.
Yes, it's me again. Two questions. The first one is more general on taxes. As you are the largest community in Belgium, I suppose you have an idea on that. Do you think that the current tax reform with a lower corporate tax will also trigger lower rate for exit tax? That's my first question. And then on AXA, just a very small and quick question. What is the deadline when the U.S. Embassy say, okay, we have enough? What kind of timing are we talking about? Thank you.
Yes, Herman, François here. As far as the tax, the budgetary measures are concerned, we had already last year an agreement with the Ministry of Finance that whenever he would reduce his corporate tax rate, he would also reduce the exit tax rate. And in comments that I've received from people from inside, this seems to be confirmed. So indeed, as from 2018, the exit tax rate will most probably 12.5%.
So as from as from next year then, huh?
Yeah, as from next year.
Okay, thank you.
Regarding a date at which the U.S. government would not be interested anymore in in the building. Well, it's very much up to them, of course, to say if they want to continue. At this time, I can tell you that they have indicated that the site is really the site where they want their embassy to be installed. They have reiterated to the regional and federal authorities that they want to solve the city center situation as quickly as possible. We have no interest on both sides, U.S. government and Cofinimmo, to let this drag on for a too long period. So we will do everything in the course of this year to bring it to a conclusion, whether positive, U.S. government getting sufficient comfort that it can do its project on the side, or negative, that is, that the project with the U.S. government will not go through. But there is no reason for us to let it drag on, and we're certainly going to put the pressure as much as we can about the decision process within the authorities in charge of urban planning.
Thank you.
There are no questions in the queue, so ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, then please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
Well,
if there are no further questions, I would like to return the conference back to the speakers.
Thank you, operator. Well, we would like to thank all of you for being there in the middle of the summer, and we wish you good holidays if they are still ahead of you, and we will certainly meet you in the coming months during roadshows on other occasions. So thanks a lot, and already a good weekend to you. Thank you, operator.